Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. The Voice of Hope is a place where you can receive encouragement in the Lord. I'm here to give you hope. We face a lot of challenges in our world, but God wants us to walk in the victory. Jesus died on the cross, rose again, conquered death and hell, conquered the enemy, and he wants us to walk in the victory that he's purchased for us. And so this Sunday, I want to talk about walking in victory. How can we walk in the victory that Jesus has purchased for us? And I'm going to look at a story in 1 Samuel chapter 14 about how Israel gained the victory. And, you know, I like to think about football. And football is a good example of how God wants to work. You know, in football, you have defense on one end of the field, you have midfield, and then you have the attack end. The defense is your end of the field, then you have midfield, and then you have the other end of the field, which is the opponent's end. And for a team to be victorious, they want to try to keep the ball on the opponent's end, because there the forward and the strikers can work and get a goal. And the enemy wants to keep the ball on your end of the field, defense. And oftentimes in life, the enemy keeps us on constant defense. In other words, enemy constantly giving problems in our life, enemy brings situations in our life, face health challenges, financial problems, other problems, and the enemy constantly keeps us on the defense. We're constantly praying about our problems, worrying about our problems, working to solve our problems. See, that's defense. But God wants to take us on the offense. God wants us to attack the enemy, to overcome the enemy. And so we have to move the ball from defense to attack. And so I believe today God is raising up men and women who will move from the defense into the offense, move from defense to attacking the enemy. And God wants to raise up forwards and strikers who can bring victory against the enemy. And so I want to talk about two people today who I consider like strikers who took the battle to the enemy. Because we need to take the battle to the enemy. We need to overcome the enemy. Jesus has given us victory, but we need to walk in the victory that Jesus has purchased for us. So I want to talk today how we can walk in that victory. And in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Saul was the king of Israel, and the Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. And so there was a battle forming between the Philistines and the Israelites. And Saul had 600 men, and they were on one side of a big valley. And on the other side of the valley was a huge army of the Philistines. The Philistine army was very big, and Saul just had 600 men. And Saul was very fearful because he only had a small little army, and the Philistines were big. And so in this story, Jonathan, Saul's son, makes a decision that he's going to quietly leave the army and go and attack the enemy, the Philistines. And so we see this in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And Jonathan had an armor bearer. Back then, if you were in battle, some of the warriors, like a king or someone, an important, powerful warrior, would have an armor bearer that would carry his sword and his spear. And so when you got into the battle, the armor bearer would hand you your weapon to fight the enemy. So Jonathan went with his armor bearer and left the camp of Israel to go against the camp of the Philistines, just the two of them. And in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.' So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart.'" So I want to see some things here that Jonathan did that help us to understand how to come into the victory that God has for us. And so Jonathan left the safe place. The safe place was to stay with his father and the army of Israel. Jonathan left the safe place and he went over to attack the enemy. And he and his armor bearer went to attack the enemy. And he says, "Let us go over to the garrison of the Philistines," or the army of the Philistines. And he calls them "these uncircumcised." And see, circumcision was God's covenant with Israel. See, God made a covenant with Israel. If you obey my commandments and you do my will, I will be your God and you will be my people, and I will bless you and I will give you victory in your life, and you will overcome every power of the enemy. That was God's covenant with Israel. And that covenant, the sign of God's covenant, was circumcision. They were God's chosen special people. And so Jonathan saw the Philistines as uncircumcised. They had no covenant with God. So Jonathan knew that he could have victory over the Israel, over the Philistines, not because he was great and powerful. He was a young man. But he knew he could have the victory because he had God on his side, because he had a covenant on his side. And he could have the victory because of that covenant. And David did the same thing when David attacked Goliath. He, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, David said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" See, David saw Goliath and the Philistines uncircumcised. He knew he had a covenant with God. He knew he could attack and kill Goliath because of his covenant with God. See, God has made a covenant with you and me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus overcame the power of the enemy. Jesus defeated the enemy, rose again, and has empowered us to overcome the enemy. We don't overcome the enemy in our power. We overcome the enemy in the power of Jesus Christ, because we have a covenant with Jesus Christ. But that a covenant is an agreement. So God's agreement is, if we will obey his word and will do his will and follow him, then he will empower us to overcome the enemy. But we have to obey our part of the covenant. So Jonathan said, "Let us go over to the Philistines, these uncircumcised." Then he goes on to say, "It may be that the Lord will work for us. Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So Jonathan says, we are covenant people. We are living according to God's covenant. We are under God's power and protection. And so it doesn't make any difference whether we're few or many, because it's not us that overcomes the enemy. It's God in us. It's that covenant we have with God that causes us to overcome the enemy. And you see, God, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And God wants to lead us into this victory. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer, they had to go down in the valley, and then they had to climb a cliff on the other side. A cliff is a very steep hill that it's very difficult to climb up. And the Philistines were on the other side of the valley. And so Jonathan said, what we will do is we'll go down the valley and we'll shout up to the Philistine army that we're down here. And if they say, we're going to come down and get you, we'll know that it's not God's will for us to go up against the Philistines. But if they shout down to us, come up here, then we'll know that we need to go on up and God's going to give us the victory. And so they got down the valley and Jonathan shouted up to the enemy, and the enemy said, come on up here and we're going to teach you a lesson. See, the Philistines knew they were very powerful and they knew that Israelites were very weak. So they were not afraid. Come up here, we're going to teach you a lesson. So Jonathan and his armor bearer are crawling on their hands and knees up the cliff toward the Philistines. And as they crawl up, the Philistines say, look, the Israelites, they're coming out of their little holes in the ground, their caves where they're hiding. They're coming out. You see, they were mocking Jonathan. But Jonathan is not afraid of the mocking of the Israelites. He was not afraid because the Philistines were making fun of him. No, Jonathan knew his covenant with God. He knew he was walking in the authority and power of God. So even though he was crawling up on his hands and knees, and it was only two of them, they got to the top, and the Bible says that they killed 20 of the Philistines, just the two of them. They killed 20 of the Philistine soldiers. And then God sent a great earthquake, and it shook the ground, and it threw the Philistine army into confusion. And they started attacking, fighting one another, and they started running away. And Saul and his little army on the other side, they're looking out over the Philistines, and they see the Philistines fighting one another and running away. And they said, what is happening here? What is happening here? And so they made a check to see who was missing from the Israeli army, and they saw Jonathan's armor bearer missing. And so Jonathan's armor bearer, they're chasing the enemy, and Saul and his army take courage then because they see the enemy running away, and they start to pursue the enemy. Then all the Israelites who lived in the area started to pursue the enemy, and they defeated the enemy and totally destroyed the power of the Philistines. How did this happen? It's because two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they didn't stay in the camp where it was safe. They didn't stay in place where it was safe. They didn't just grumble and complain because of the Philistines. No, they took the battle to the Philistines. They left defensive end, and they went against the Philistines, just the two of them. And they went in faith. And we have to have faith to overcome the enemy. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because those who come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, we need to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to go in faith against the enemy, not stay at home in a safe place and complain because we don't have victory. No, God is looking for people like Jonathan who will rise up against the enemy. David did the same thing. David's just a shepherd boy. He is not an important person. He's not a military man. He's not a king. He's just a shepherd boy. His brothers were in the military. And the whole military was lined up against to fight the Philistines, and they sent out their big giant Goliath. You know, the enemy likes to intimidate us. I talked about last week that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, but he says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him. You know, and the enemy likes to make a lot of noise. He likes to cause a lot of problems. He likes to make us think that he's very powerful. But he doesn't have any power before God. Jesus defeated the enemy. So David, even though he was a shepherd boy, he comes to the battle line where the Israelis are. Goliath comes out and comes out and threatens them. Is anyone out there who can attack me? If you attack me and defeat me, we will surrender to you. But if I beat you, then you're going to have to surrender to me. And all the Israelite army is just a fearful. But David says, man, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Who is this Philistine? See, David wasn't standing in his power. He said, who is this Philistine who defies the armies of God? See, it wasn't a battle against David. It was a battle against God. See, the warfare we fought is not our battle. It's God's battle. God wants to just come into agreement with him against the enemy. We need to come and fight against the enemy with the word of God and overcome the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may overcome the powers of the enemy. It says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is being in right relationship with God. The breastplate was what covered your chest of a soldier back then. It was metal and it covered his chest and protected his heart from the enemy. And that's standing not in our righteousness, but in God's right, standing in good relationship with God. As you have a good relationship with God, God will protect you from the enemy. It says, gird our loins with truth. We need to walk in the truth. We need to live in the truth. So put on your feet the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace. We need to walk in peace. We need to live in peace. Peace, don't live in fear and turmoil, don't cause problems, live in peace. We have a gospel of peace, a gospel of Jesus Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. You know, we need to begin to put our thoughts into obedience to Christ. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we need to take our shield of faith to quench every fire. Stand in faith against the enemy. When the enemy attacks you, stand in faith. Declare God's word in faith. But the most important thing is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, we overcome the enemy by the power of the word and by the power of the Spirit. See, when we need to fill ourselves with the word of God, our covenant is the word of God. As you fill yourself with the word of God, you're equipping yourself to come against the enemy. See, when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, he overcame the enemy by the power of the word and by the power of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the word operates by the Spirit. It's not just us speaking the word. It's the Spirit of God rising up in us against the enemy and the, This morning I was at a prayer meeting, and we had a man at the prayer meeting who was going through some very difficult things. And as he was sharing his problems, the Holy Spirit just rose up in me, and I began to speak the word of God over him, that he was more than a conqueror, that greater is he that's in you that's in the world. I began to speak the word of God, and as it did, begin to build faith in the man. Why? It was by the Spirit that activated the word. Now, I like to make a comparison to making tea. We all enjoy tea or chai. And what are the two main things we need in tea? We need hot water and tea leaves. And so you have to have both to make tea. And the water needs to become hot. How does the water become hot? It's put on the fire. And when it's put on the fire, it activates the water, and the water begins to boil. And the boiling water, then you put the tea leaves in it, and it makes wonderful tea that everybody enjoys drinking. And you know that the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit is the water in us. And when we come into difficult times, when the enemy comes against us, we come into trials and we feel a fire coming against us. You know, what rises in us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rises in us, but it also needs the tea leaves. The Holy Spirit rises in us and activates the Word of God. Have you ever taken tea leaves and just put them in your mouth? If you just put tea leaves in your mouth, they're bitter. See, the Word by itself has no power. The Word is activated by the Spirit of God. Some people, all they have is the Spirit of God. They're big on the Holy Spirit. They have a lot of hot water, but they have no tea leaves. They have no word in them, so they have no power. Or they pretend like they have power, but they don't have the power of the word which overcomes the enemy. And then there are people who have the word, but they have no power of the Spirit. And we have to have both together to make something great that people enjoy. And so the Holy Spirit needs to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to come against the enemy. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3, it says, if you walk, God tells Israel, if you walk in my statutes or my word and keep my commandments and perform them, do them, you will chase your enemy and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put to flight 10,000 of your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. See, that is God's covenant promise with us. If we walk, he says, if we walk in according to his word and keep his commandments and perform them. God wants to do us. God wants to empower us. See, David stood out in faith in God, declare according to God's word. He said, David said, I meditate on God's word day and night. David delighted in God's word. David said in Psalms 1, if you meditate on God's word day and night, that you will prosper in everything you do. You'll be like a tree planted by living water. You'll always have green leaves and you'll produce fruit in season. You see, God wants to make you prosperous. God wants to bless you if you walk according to his word and by the power of your spirit. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, the weapons of our warfare are not earthly weapons. We don't fight with things in the world. We don't fight against people. We fight against principalities and powers and rulers in high places, spiritual strongholds. Says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not man-made, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That is, pulling down the works of the enemy, tearing down the works of. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the enemy. For this reason the Son of Man came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's empowered us to destroy the works of the devil. We need to move from defense to attacking. We need to move from our end of the field to the enemy's end of the field and take the war to the enemy. It says, casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is against God's word, you need to cast that down. Any thought that comes in your mind that is not in agreement with what God is saying, you need to cast that down. It says, cast down every our activity, every vain imagination. You know, we need to bring our thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. No, we can't yield to the temptations of the enemy. We got to discipline ourselves as soldiers so we're prepared to come against the enemy. So David led the enemy. He killed Goliath. that encouraged the whole Israeli army, and they pursued the Philistines and defeated the Philistines. Very same thing Jonathan did. Jonathan led the battle. He was a striker. He went before. David was a striker. God wants to lead us into battle. God wants us to overcome the works of the enemy. God wants to take up the weapon of our warfare, the Word of God. God wants to walk in the power of His Spirit to take the battle to the enemy. The other thing is that we don't fight this battle alone. See, Jonathan went into the battle with his armor bearer. His armor bearer said, "Do all that is in your heart. Go, and I am with you according to your heart." Jonathan and his armor bearer were of one heart. They were of one mind. See, in the early church in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says they were of one mind and one heart. And God blessed them. God gave them victory signs and wonders followed their miracle. Thousands got saved. So we need to walk in the power of the Spirit, but we need to be together. You know, a striker cannot win the game by himself. He needs to have forwards who pass the ball to him at the right time for him to make the goal. See, we can't walk in this battle together. We have to join ourselves with other people. See, God is calling forward men and women who will stand up, not stay back, not cry and complain about their problem, but who will stand up against the enemy, who will be an example of walking in the power of God and the Word of God. I believe that people need to be people of the Word, not people of tradition, people of the Word and of the Spirit. But don't do it alone. David went with his armor bearer. And the Bible says that God has given us an armor bearer. God has given us what the Jews calls a helper to be with us. In John chapter 14, verse 15 and 18, talking about our helper, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you a helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they neither see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus said, if you really love me and keep my commandments, keep my word, I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will come and live in you, and he will abide in you. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit that will reveal God's will and God's purpose, the Spirit who will teach you the Word of God. See, get into the Word, read the Word, meditate on the Word. Say, "Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me from your Word?" Allow the Word to become a part of you. It will transform your life. It will empower your life. In John chapter 14, verse 26 through 28, John 14, 26 through 28, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I have said to you. Peace I leave to you with you. My peace I give to you. Not unto the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." Why are we not troubled or afraid? Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. We don't go into this battle in our own power. We walk in God's covenant. And Jesus has given us someone to walk with us, the Holy Spirit, to help us overcome every power of the enemy. And he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you from the Word of God. He will bring things to your remembrance. Because, see, as you learn the Word, you learn about God. You learn about God, everything about God. And you fill yourself with the Word. Then when you get in a situation, the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to you and activates the Word of God in you. And you speak the Word of God. And you speak in the power of God because you have a helper, the Holy Spirit. Then in John 15, 26 through 27, Jesus said, "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit always talks about Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus walked on the earth, he always glorified the Father and always talked about the Father. He said, "I only do what the Father shows me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say." Then Jesus said, "I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be in you, and he will testify of me." So people who walk in the Spirit, they don't talk about themselves. They talk about Jesus Christ. They exalt Jesus Christ. You have someone to go into battle with you, and that is the Holy Spirit. And that is Jesus Christ living in you by the Holy Spirit to overcome every work of the enemy. In Romans 8, 26 through 27, Romans 8:26 through 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession through us. See, the Holy Spirit prays through me. When I'm praying for you in Africa, the Holy Spirit helps me know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit empowers my prayer. See, I overcome because the Holy Spirit gives me the word. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit makes the word alive to me. The Holy Spirit helps me to pray successfully because the Holy Spirit empowers me to pray according to the will of God. So we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk according to the word of God. God has given us a helper. God has given us someone to go into battle with, and that is the Holy Spirit. But we also need to walk, surround ourselves with people who are people of faith. See, we need to come together with other people. You know, one man cannot win a football game. A team wins a football game. You need to surround yourself with people of faith, people of the word, people of the Spirit. You know, you need to pray together with people. One of the people that God has given me in my life is my wife. My wife and I pray over everything. You know, we pray over our children. We pray over my ministry. We pray over everything. You know, God has given me, we call them a helpmeet. You know, God has given me my wife to walk out life with me. And when two agree together, God hears our prayers. In Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. See, when two stand together, see, Jonathan and his armor bearer were of one heart. They stood together. My wife and I, we are of one heart. We stand together. It says, a threefold cord cannot be broken. You see, my wife and I and the Holy Spirit make threefold cord. See, we stand together in unity. My wife and I pray together. We study God's word together. I encourage you, pray together with your wife. There is power in prayer. The greatest unity God has ever created is a man and wife. A man and wife have great authority as you pray together over things and you pray for your situation. You pray against the powers of the enemy. You bind the enemy that wars against your children. You come in the power of your spirit as you agree with your wife. And walk together. You know, I have worked with many people in life. I have lived in many places. My wife and I have walked life out together in Jesus Christ. My greatest partner in life is my wife. And I want to encourage you not yet to be a partner with your wife. Walk life out with your wife. And walk in the battle with your wife. Walk in your battle with other believers. You're not married. Find other believers. You as a couple, find other couples. Join together with other Christians of like faith so you can come against the powers of the enemy. Lord God, we just come in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind the work of the enemy. Lord, you've given us all authority in heaven and earth through your covenant, through your spirit and your word. And Lord, I pray that you encourage every person listening to the voice of hope today, Lord God. Empower them by your spirit. May they take the battle to the enemy. May they not be afraid and intimidated. May they not gripe or complain. But by the spirit, may faith arise in them. May the word arise in them. And may they agree together with other believers. Lord, I am believing you, Lord God, to raise up mighty men and women, Lord God, throughout Africa that will declare your name in power and bring salvation to many. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to listen to the voice of hope every Sunday and receive an encouraging word with the Lord. May you walk with the Lord today, walk with others, and walk into the battle that God has given you the victory over in Jesus' name. Amen.